Good morning. Welcome to Restored Community Church. We are overly delighted to have you. Everybody all right? You got what you need? You're comfortable? Good. We only got about a three-hour dissertation here, so we're ready to get in it, right? Yeah. We don't go nearly as long. And some of you new people think we go long. You should have been here back in the day, right? D-Butter, right? Yeah, Dustin knows. By the way, this is the first drummer of Restored ever. Oh. Amen. That's Dustin Presley right there. And his amazing wife. They are restored Oklahomans. Yeah. Amen. So can we call you restored Oklahomans? And Oklahomans need to be restored. Amen. Amen. Today we are coming around the corner of our journey here on our series on revolutionary love. And so I know that you wanted to stay in it for another 20 or 30 years, but we're gonna transition into the next part of this series. And so we've been talking about over the last few months what it is to love one another. And so how we love one another is so critically important because we are equipped with the love of God. Amen? Amen. We have the overwhelming, all-creating, alpha and omega-style kind of love in our lives. It's this agape love. It's unconditional. It's without your merit. You didn't deserve it. You can't ever earn it. You're never going to be good enough. You're not going to be even close to good enough to get God's love. You have God's love because He is a God of love. He is a God of favor, and His heart is for you. I don't know what it means to you that God chose you, but that should mean a lot more to you than how most of us live our lives. If we live our lives knowing that through God's love, God chose me, not just once, y'all, He created us, right? He created us in His image, and then in our sin, this is the gospel, God had a perfect plan, right? God's design was perfect, for us to prosper and not be broken. And then in our sin, we walked into brokenness and broke fellowship with God. And then in that, instead of Him crushing us like we deserve, His favor was knitted through time in this person in the work of Jesus Christ, God Himself. And through the blood on the cross, we could not pay the price. Only He could, and He did a horrible death. He rose again 3 days later, defeated death. And anybody who would follow after Him and make Him Lord are set free forever. Hallelujah. And He chose you for that. Nobody insignificant. Nobody a waste of time. No oopsie in here. Nobody without purpose. Amen? And so because we have that love, God put us together in this family called the church, and we walk things out together in life, and we're supposed to love one another, and we're supposed to love God with everything we have, it says in the Great Commandment, and then we're supposed to love one another in a deep, godly, holy way, which by on our own, how many of you have got this thing figured out? Amen. I still have a job. Amen. Although maybe that means I'm not doing a good job. Never mind. So anyway, so we've been walking through this series, and we know in John 13:35, Jesus says, by this you will be known as my disciples, by how you love one another. And so when Jesus says something, I don't just take it as, man, that's a good word. I take that as, oh snap, my heavenly homemaker has asked me to do this. I need to obey. And so how I love you is a reflection. Take all the churchiness out of it. How I love you is a reflection of my discipleship with Jesus Christ. How I love you is a reflection on how I follow Him. And so only you can answer that question for me. It's like, how do I love you? Do I love you well? Do I love you like Jesus? Does your spouse love you like Jesus? And more importantly, since you can't control them, do you love them like Jesus loves you? That's the question. And so we believe in not just preaching things and teaching things and then moving on to the next thing. We really want God to do this, right? The scriptures say that the Holy Spirit, this is one of the fruit of the Spirit, is this kind of love. This is what the Holy Spirit does in His people. And so when we are in obedience to Him and we get out of the way, we don't quench the Holy Spirit, that kind of love comes out. I got to speak at a conference this weekend with this amazing, like, world-class discipleship conference this weekend in the middle of the hood. And it was one of the best conferences I've ever been to in my life. And all the speakers except for one were really good. and they asked me a question. They had a Q&A at the end. And Pastor Jerry asked me, he's like, man, you just love people well. How do you love people so well? And I said, can I be honest? I said, I don't. I'm horrible at loving people. I really don't love people naturally well by myself. I'm selfish. I'm angry. I'm insecure. And I need affirmation all the time. I love horribly by myself, right? I don't love anybody. I don't even love my wife correctly on my own ambition. And so, and the point of that is, well, that seems kind of hopeless. Yeah, of course it is. That's why you need Jesus. And so we have Jesus. Jesus puts a new kind of love in us. And it's not just new in creation. It's an ancient love, but it's new to our sinful flesh. And so he gives it to us and we give it out. And so we've been studying through 1 Corinthians for the last time today. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Amen. Now you two, it's funny, you overly pregnant women right here, both of you on one side. I'm just ready for like running water or something, right? All right. Hey, I've been a sit-in delivery guy dad, so don't worry, I've got you. All right.
So if my water breaks on your chair, you're going to forgive me?
You're going to buy that chair.
That's hot.
Everybody open your Bible, 1 Corinthians 13. I hope that's coffee or did someone's water break over here. Okay, we should get that cleaned up. Everybody open your Bibles. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8 in the Bible. Yeah, I don't even know how to react. Good thing we don't video anymore, amen? Don't mind the cleaning crew as we... That's what I love about church, being about family, not about a show, amen? Here's what 1 Corinthians 13 says, 4 through 8, and we've covered this. Love is patient and kind, does not envy or boast, it is not arrogant or rude, it does not insist on its own way, it is not irritable or resentful, it does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but it rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. And so this is a gift to us because this is the definition of what biblical love, fueled by the Holy Spirit, looks like. And I always make some jargon comment about being on a coffee mug. If you need it on your coffee mug or you have a little plaque at home, fine. But where is it written in your heart? Where is it in your life and how you love? And this is the thing that we keep, you know, some guy the other day was like, what do you guys preach over? What's your theme? Because he likes to evaluate preachers. Like, I know this guy's all about this. And every time I hear you, man, I think your main core of preaching is mission. And so I went home and I thought about that. And I was like, I don't think that's it at all. And I think that's a part of it. But ours is obedience to Christ and that he restores all things. We talk about that all the time. And this is the thing is that if Jesus says it's true, you can love people this way. Matter of fact, if you really follow Jesus, you will love people this way, which means you'll screw it up, you'll be convicted, right? The bigger problem with sin is that you're not convicted and you don't care and you don't pay attention and you're not wanting Jesus to change your heart. That's the biggest battle because the scriptures say that he who began a good work in you is going to see it through to completion upon the return of Christ Jesus, right? And so he will do it. You just have to be on board. You got to be on the vessel, right? You got to be on the road. And so Jesus will teach us how to love like this through his Holy Spirit. And how many of you will say you don't love perfect, but you love a little bit better now than you used to through the Holy Spirit? Amen? Yeah, we should bring my wife out here for a Q&A, right? I'll just go hide back there and coffee thing, somebody, whatever. So here's where we are this week. We're on the last three. And these are awesome, some of my favorite ones, and they're just simple. This is short. We're just going to talk about these last three, and they are hopes all things, endures all things, and love never ends. This is the juicy nuggets of the end of this. And so the first one is that love hopes all things. say hopes.
Hopes.
When you think about the word hope, what do you think so? Don't say hope floats. I don't hear any lame titles of movies or anything like that, right? I'm sure it was a great movie. What do you think about when you hear the word hope? Looking forward to something better. Okay, good, deep, good. Here's some things I wrote down and some definitions that I found as I study. This is the kind of love that always expects the best possible outcome. This kind of love refuses to accept failure. This kind of love always holds out hope that things will work out in the end. I have another one. It says, love has confidence in the future, not pessimism. Ouch, get up off me. When it's hurt, love doesn't say, it's going to be this way forever. And it's going to get worse, but love actually hopes for the best because it hopes in him. This is the working definition of what biblical, Holy Spirit, hopeful love looks like. It doesn't get defeated. It doesn't get wiped out. It doesn't get crushed beyond the point of repair. And so this kind of hope, 1 Peter 1:3 says, blessed, where does it come from? Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And so there's this thing, we are literally born again into hope. And so before we were hopeless, right? I mean, that's really what it is to be lost. People say, I wasn't necessarily lost when I was lost, or I wasn't looking for something, whatever the bumper stupid sticker says, whatever it is. But people scripturally are lost. The scripture says that the devil has his hands over people's eyes. They are lost and without hope. Tell me right now, imagine the things in your life and the stuff going on in this world that is going to continue to get worse, and tell me how much of a positive outlook you have for your life. Based on your relationships, based on the news, based on ISIS and gangsters and shootings and all of this stuff, rape, little children being hurt. What about all those things? How much hope do you really have? Right? You're either on something or you are overly pessimistic, right? No, optimistic. That came out wrong. You know, those people are like, I don't care, whatever happens, I'm just going to smile. And you know, on the inside, they're like twerking, right? In their head, I said it again. Gosh darn it. All right. Just for the record, I don't twerk. So listen to this. Hope isn't waiting on anybody else to do what we expect or waiting for situations to be right or perfect. Hope is a person, and hope's name is Jesus. The only hope for the world is a living hope that we're birthed into, and his name is Christ. And that changes everything. Hope in God's way changes everything. And this is based on faith. Everybody say faith. So you're baptized into this new hope, but you don't just come out going, don't worry about nothing, Jesus has got it, right? This is a faith exercise. And so if you go through the scriptures, Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. Well, I don't have a lot of hope. Everything I see is messed up. Yes. Hope is the thing. It's faith birthed out in what you believe. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. So we believe that what we hope for is going to actually come true, right? What we hope for, and that is a faith thing, and the faith thing is built on Jesus Christ, right? And so now instead of, you know, this thing, man, I hope this thing works out. Here's what it really stems out is, now is this, I have hope this works all out. You hear me? Listen to that. This is like, so I was like nuggeting on this last night in my office at 2 a.m. This isn't, no longer, our words are not, I hope this all works out. Our life from now on is, we have hope this all works out. It's different. It's a new way of thinking. I would, but I'll probably screw it up. This life, for the last time, just for Tyson, just for one of our elders, I like to submit sometimes, is that it's not about, I hope this works out. It's, I have hope this will work out. Hear what I'm saying? That is the difference in Christian love. It's not conditional on you. It's not conditional on me. It's conditional only on one person that is unconditionally perfect, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen? What a gift. Romans 8:24 says, for this hope, in this hope we were saved, and now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? This says, for what you see right now, that's not hope. Who on earth in this world can see things the way they are and have hope? The scriptures say, for this hope, and we were saved into this hope. That means only people who call upon the name of Jesus have this hope. Y'all, you are blessed. Because not only do you have salvation and new life, your new creation, but hope is something that you were literally birthed into, not a thought process. And so it just means we need to renew our minds from, I need to see things that give me hope, versus the thing that sees through me is my hope. How I see the world now, it's like Don always does this. Right now, if I say this is my worldly eyes, and I can look at things the way they are, and things seem pretty blurry. Number two, jacked up, amen? But then when we put on salvation, we are now birthed into this hope, and now I see things differently in every person, every situation, every place. Is there hope in ISIS? No. Is there hope through Christ for ISIS? Yes. Is there hope? What about men and women who have done such horrible things to people that you can't even imagine what kind of demonic thing went inside of them? Is there hope looking at them? Oh, I hope counseling works. Oh, I hope that their next try to be sober really works. But no, we put on these, the lens of hope, and we see there's hope for everybody. Amen? Amen. It's a gift. Romans 5:5 says, and hope does not put us to shame. Amen. Let me say it again. Hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. Hope does not put us to shame. You don't end up looking bad on this at the end. Remember? Today is a day, again, for the billionth time since Jesus probably, that this was supposed to be the end of the world. Today is the prophesied day, whatever that is, the seventh season of Jubilee, the blood moon, all those things. Did you know that today is the end of the world? We should just go out and party, right? Guess what? People who prophesied that by 12:01 tonight will look stupid. When it comes down to my day, now that is, unless it isn't, it was really from the Lord, then I'll be in heaven and I'll say, my bad. My bad. I'm big. I'll take it. My bad. But more than likely, today is not the day we're going home because only Jesus knows what it is. Those people are going to look dumb. They're going to look foolish. They're going to look shameful. This says, when we're done and the truth really comes down and Jesus restores your home, restores your life, restores your relationships, restores your children, restores your addictions, you're not going to look like a fool because what we have doesn't put us to shame. We are really going to heaven. We are really delivered. We really believe in a God who saves His children. There's no shame in this hope. You don't. And for years, people might think you're a fool. Last night was our 20th, Dustin's here because there was our 20th graduation, what is that called?
Reunion.
Yeah, obviously I didn't go because pastor at the bar in the middle of the night is probably not a good deal, right? So I was there via Skype. I'm just kidding. A lot of those people that we used to go to high school with think that some of us are morons because we believe in Jesus. And for me to even show up in a place like that would be funny, and they would snicker at me, and I love them, and some of them don't love me. Some of them used to be part of our church, and they hate our guts, whatever. But it would be foolish. They think I'm a fool. But in the end, what's cool is that as their life breaks, things bust open, that foolishness goes away, and they start to call, and they start to ask questions, and they start to want to know why it is that we're not trembling in our boots when our lives are falling apart. There's no shame in this. Amen? How this works, how do we love this way? We go back to our definition. Love always expects the best possible outcome. Guess what? We win! Let me try this again. Maybe this thing was off. New lapel mic. Hold on, one more time. We win! Amen? So love expects the best possible outcome. My life is junk right now. I don't seem to be winning. We don't have enough money. Guess what? Jesus reigns, the cross is true, He comes back, He sets us free, we win. So there's hope, amen. What about loneliness? How do you walk through loneliness? Guess what? He's a father to the fatherless, and He hears the cries that you cry at night. He is there for you. He has never left you nor forsake you. He is always there. We win. It's a perspective, amen. Love refuses to accept failure. Will we screw things up in the end? Yeah, we lose battles, right? But in the end, we win the war. What is important? It's the war. Love always holds out hope that things will work out in the end. If I die today, it will crush my family, probably. But you know what will happen? Much to my prideful chagrin is that my wife would move on. My children would be carried by the Holy Spirit. The church would take care of them. And we would see each other in heaven without question. There's no situation in your life that's hopeless. Every situation through Jesus Christ has hope. There's no pointless love in the kingdom of God. Amen? I love that phrase. I wrote this down last night. If you have Him, you not only have all the hope in the world, but you have all the hope in eternity. There's hope for every person, every relationship, every prodigal, every situation, every lonely heart. And what people say, you know, what if someone broke my heart, Pastor? What if someone did me wrong? Well, it wasn't Jesus who did you wrong. You understand that? You cannot impose what Jesus, you can't impose things on Jesus that other people did in sin. It's not His fault. It's not His working. He is not the one that broke your heart. But if they broke your heart, it's legitimate. But you can have hope that you always have Him and you will never lose Him because He has perfect love. It's a matter of your perspective. You don't lose hope if you have Jesus because Jesus is hope. Amen? Amen. So how do we love with all hope? We put our hopes in Him and His love and not in the hands of the others. I hope my husband will be the man of my dreams. Good luck, y'all. Some of you guys said, I hope my fiance will be the thing that I'm looking for to fulfill my heart. I hope this job will be the thing that fulfills my heart, my financial needs. I hope this church will be da-da-da-da-da-da-da. If you're putting it all on us, Jesus has to be the hope. Amen? So we start off by, Jesus is my hope. The situation is not. Jesus puts hope in my situation. I don't get hope from my situation. Somebody should say amen. We need to stop talking and walking in defeated lifestyle. Listen to me. You need to understand that you have the hope of the world, and you have to quit convincing your spirit. The scripture talks about your tongue being like a small rudder on a ship that could control this huge ship, or a bridle in the bit of a horse's mouth. You can control this huge animal by this little thing. That is likened to your tongue. If you always walk around talking negative, and nobody will ever, and I'm not going to ever, and God never does this, and my man's always going to be this, and my situation's always going to be this, you are putting yourself in the midst of that. You are not claiming hope that only comes through Jesus. I don't believe in name it and claim it. Rever, fake it till you make it. Well, there's like a reverse psychology in that. The more garbage you talk, the more you walk away from the truth, and the more you're going to be stuck in it. Speak truth into your life. There is hope, whether you realize it or not, because hope is Jesus. He's unfailing. He doesn't leave you. He is yours. Stop bad talking. Stop complaining. Stop trashing everybody. If you can't, remember we talked about one of the most holy things on the face of the earth, shut it. Because number one, you are steering your heart incorrectly. And number two, people hear you and you're blowing your witness. If you don't feel hopeful that day, that's fine. You need to get with Jesus. But guess what? People are looking at you. We have to represent Christ and kingdom. Amen? So if they see you going through a crappy situation and you're acting like the rest of the world and you have no hope and your head's in the sand, then guess what? You just represented Christ in a way that there's no hope in a situation. We act accordingly. Is this difficult? Yeah, you know, we're soldiers. We're not like touchy-feely little baby dolls. This is what it is when we grow up in our faith, is that no matter what happens, I represent Christ and kingdom. That is what lordship is. Amen? And so even though one of the best things I do, the most holy thing I do, is when I'm mad and I'm going to lose it, I run to my office and shut the door and just sit there with my head down. I used to think that was funny. Now, honestly, it's one of my best spiritual disciplines. Shutting it is a spiritual discipline. Amen? Anybody testify? Am I the only guy that hides somewhere? Some of y'all need a hiding place. That's what the name of this sermon is. Shut your mouth, find a hiding place. Amen. We walk in the truth and no one is too far gone. Nobody too far gone. And I know we say that, but in the end, do you really mean it? Because sometimes we see folk, right, and you're like, oh my gosh, I don't know how that dude's ever going to make his way back. Amen? Does anybody testify? I don't know how my son, I don't know how my daughter, I don't know how my husband, my ex-husband, blah, 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 all these things. I don't know how on earth they're going to make it back. Well, then this is a faith issue, because there isn't anybody, right? Charlie Manson sitting in prison thinks he's the devil, crazier than a loon, right? The Holy Spirit can show up in there in 1 minute, completely crush everything and anything in his spirit, straighten out his mind, hook him out there singing How Great Thou Art. Amen? Is it possible? Because that's the God we believe in, right? The one that says there's no one. That's why are we restored if this isn't true? We're asking for broken peoples, but we don't really believe God can, and through His hope, set everybody free. That's what God does. He sets people free. And that's what we believe. That's why we're restored. That's why I'm standing here, because I was hopeless, bottle in my hand, drinking, 19 years old, wanting to commit suicide and die. Jesus came, set me free. Hope. Now I'm here. Amen? Don't be jelly. Here it is. Hope isn't some random statement for us. Like, I'm just going to say this again. I hope this all works out. Hope is a purposeful movement of faith in my life. That this person, whatever this person is, this circumstance is covered by the blood of Jesus. The truth is, we have hope, so this all works out. Amen? And so as a church, this is just our heart. We want to be the hope place for every lost and broken sinner. We don't always do things right. We screw up. I'm a putz sometimes. Our leadership isn't always gelling. We don't always shake everybody's hand when we're supposed to. We don't always make it to your crisis in the middle of the night. We're working on those things. Give us grace. Some of you haven't connected yet. I know that, but you have to know that our heart is in that. That's what we want for you, but we're pulled thin. This is what I'm saying is we want everybody to know that there is nobody here that is without hope. People come in and start giving me the story, like, you don't know what I've done, and da 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 da. And kinda, honestly, now I'm kind of like, I might probably seem rude. I got to work on my fake facade. I need to work on my O's. I need to do that. You did what? I mean, there's always something new that when I think I've heard it all, there's another level. So I want to be careful, right? Like circus clown, murder guy shows up to church, whatever, okay? But in the end, I honestly don't care what you've done. Everything and anything you've done can be washed in the blood of Jesus. Amen. The bigger question for me is, how much junk have you done? The bigger question is, are you done with it? Because if you're done with it, Jesus is ready to wash it, change your life. I hate having those conversations with people, honestly, week after week after week. Oh man, I did it again. I get grace and all that, but sometimes you have to flip over and go into hope mode and say, you know what? This was me, but it is not me anymore. I want new life. Help me. Help me get out of this. And then you be legit about your asking for help. Amen? Some of us, it takes the 20-year process. God bless those of us it takes the 20-year process. Amen? In here, there's hope for everybody. Look to your neighbor and say, I hope you, y'all. Daisy, there was no one sitting over here, buddy. You got to look the other way. All right. So that's number one. Yeah, say y'all. Y'all say y'all? Holly, y'all. We're getting ready for our Southern church plant movement. Right? Here's the next thing. Is that love endures all things and always perseveres. They mean, depending on what version you read, they mean they're running in the same way. This is a military term which has to do with being positioned in the middle of a violent battle. How many of us have been positioned in the middle of a violent battle? The answer is yes, spiritually, we're all in the middle of a violent battle, right? Okay? The emphasis here is not on handling a little bit of it or minor annoyances. It's referring to a love that stands against incredible opposition and still loves. It means to sustain the assault of the enemy. So here's the point. Because this love is powered by God, it keeps moving no matter what comes against it. Like persevering love. You know what? This is what I love about this place. Can I tell you that? We've got a lot of things to work on. Amen? We've got some stuff that we don't do right. We got some things spiritually. We want to grow in prayer as a movement of prayer warriors. We want to grow in people that reach out to people that are lost and broken and be evangelists in our life. And we're working on those two very things. Those are like the two things that I believe we can really grow in, and I'm sure there's a laundry list behind it. But those are the two big things. We want to grow in prayer, and we want to grow in our witness and outreach to our neighbors and friends. We want this thing to blow up because people are being saved, not just by transferring membership. Amen? That's what the church does. We see people seek and save that which was lost. We see people saved. But one thing that God has taught us over the years, and this has come with a heavy, 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 heavy price tag, is that we are learning and have been schooled in the way of perseverance. You hear what I'm saying? And this is such a huge part of life because brokenness comes over and over and over and over again. It's never been about the fact that you have brokenness or not. In Christ, it's always and only about how you react to suffering and brokenness through Christ that makes a difference in your life. How do you deal with conflict in your life? Ouchie, huh? Here's some examples of this kind of love in the Word. So we have Stephen. I'm going to read this little sieve. Everybody know who Stephen is? Not like our Stephen, although he's just the same character as this Stephen, right? Stephen in the New Testament in Acts, he's one of the first martyrs. When Stephen was lying on the ground with his life being crushed out with stones, he said he wanted to throw a mantle over the sins of his people. He believed and he hoped and he preached with the belief that some of them would listen, and he hoped that they would come to Christ. And when he ran out of faith and hope, all he had left was endurance. And as they were stoning him and crushing out his life, he was simply enduring by the power of Christ. Why? Because he loved them. These men were stoning him to death, and he kept preaching. And he looked up to heaven, and his face shone. And what did he say? God, kill these idiots! This hurts! He didn't say anything like that. And when they were stoning him in Acts 7, 59 through 60, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against him." And when he said this, he fell asleep. That is enduring love. Regardless of the circumstance, love in Stephen kept going. Amen? Jesus on the cross, Jesus threw a mantle of this over his crucifiers. Believed that some of them would believe. By the way, do you think that anybody that believed later in Pentecost were people who were standing there at the cross or could have had something to do with it? Yeah. Okay? And so the answer is yes. But he hoped they would come to him and endured. And in the end, while they spit on him with words, he says, "Father, forgive them." Luke 23, 34, Jesus said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." That's this kind of love. This is the kind of love that doesn't stop. Because, and this is a Holy Spirit natural. Come on. Your thoughts of love in the present and the past, I know, was conditional, right? Our love in the past was circumstancing, because now we know that love is an action, right? Love is an action. And so when we love somebody, we love somebody. But when something comes against us, it's very hard for us, if not impossible, for us to keep dishing that love out, right? Well, what fuels that kind of thing in foolish Christians? How do Christians pray for their people that are martyring them? How do they try to love people cutting off their heads? How does men and women forgive huge monsters that sexually abuse them and all of this stuff? How does it happen? It only happens through the enduring love through the Holy Spirit that only exists in His followers. You see, the truth is that there's nothing you go through that love shouldn't endure from. The question is, whose love are you giving? Are you giving out of your well that's empty? Are you giving out of the blood of Christ in you that never runs dry? Amen? I just had a couple points. They didn't quit loving because of the bigger picture. And that's the love we have, and that's what we give. And this cool thing, I found this quote, it says, "Most of us can bear all things and believe all things and hope things for a little while. Some of you are tough. Some of you know how to get your butt kicked. And some of you know how to last for a little while. But you're also, some of you are great bottlers. And then eventually, though, after getting your butt kicked over, this was me. I was resilient. I had so much stuff and neglect and stuff when I was a kid. I was so broken, but I knew how to persevere. I could go through. And I used to say, man, this is funny. Everything just kind of falls off my back. I don't know how I deal with this stuff. You know how I dealt with it? Addiction, eating, coming out in anger, worry, all of this stuff. Anxiety attacks in my 30s where I got to get on medication. It caught up to me. Somebody should say amen. This kind of love is different. This is the agape love that never gives up, no matter how tough or how weak you are. Some of you need it in the first 2 seconds of crisis. Some of you think you got it handled for a year, but it always catches up with you. Your love is conditional. Amen? Amen? Love is the reason we persevere. Everybody say that. Love is the reason we persevere. So I just wrote down a few things. If that's true, which we believe it is, holla holla, how do we walk in a love that perseveres? Number one, you need to realize that you make it through, and how you make it through is in love. We know this text in Romans 8. It is written, "For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered." And then he says, no. "In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Listen, we are more than conquerors. Don't miss that part of the text. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. The love is the thing that causes us to conquer, because love is Jesus. Love is the Lord. The scriptures say that God is the definition of love. Through Him, through His love, we conquer. And so the love that we have conquers. How many of you have ever thought about that for a minute? Does the love I have actually a conquering love for my husband? A conquering love for my friends? A conquering love for the lost? Because no matter what they do to me, no matter how they hurt me, no matter what happens, I'm not going to give up and let the devil come in and take this. I'm going to give it and give it and give it and give it, because there's no way it's stopping coming out of me, because it doesn't stop coming into me. Amen? "In all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angel nor demons, neither the present or the future or any powers, neither the height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord." Right? The thing is, we know we should know that there's nothing that could separate you from the love of God. The bigger question for us right now is, because of that, what do I allow things to separate me from in loving other people the same way? What is it? And so there's other texts here that we need to realize that he walks through this with you every step. If your heart is hurt, Jesus doesn't expect you just to say, "Ah, I love you, you big dork that just did this immeasurably hard thing." It doesn't work like that. It's a faith experience, and you have to know that we're conquerors through this love, but we do that because he walks with us every step of the way. You just got to hold out your hand. Amen? Deuteronomy 31:8, it is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. This is a love you verse. It's not just a going through a hard thing verse. This is how do I keep my love, keep going at somebody that needs it, that doesn't deserve it. It happens this way because love is with me. I'm not giving what I got. I'm giving what he's given me. I got to give him. Amen? Wherever I go, he goes. Amen? Realize that there is a difference. Next point, there's a big difference in persevering and persevering out of love. Woo, come on. I like this one. Let me explain it, all right? Because you're like, that look is means, Pastor, you're not doing your job correctly. Okay, Revelation 2:4, one of my favorite texts. I know your works. I know your toil. I know your patient endurance. This is Jesus talking through John to his church. I know you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and have found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, but you have not grown weary. He says, I know you're enduring these things. You're enduring those things for my name's sake. And then he drops this wowzer in verse 4. He says, but I have this against you. You have abandoned the love you first had. They were suffering, they were enduring, they were moving through in his name, but not in his power. There's a difference. There's a difference between just keep nailing things through over and over again in the name of civic duty or Christ duty. There's a difference. This is an actual kind of love that penetrates your heart. And when you give the love, and when you give forgiveness, and you give grace, you're actually sending love with it. You're not doing it just in spite. Amen? Jesus says, I know you're enduring stuff. And some of you are enduring stuff. I know. And some of you are doing a good job. But how are you enduring? What's the motor? What is the foundation of how you endure? Is it because the love of God is completely filling your heart? You are at least begging him for it. And you are trying to give what he has given you, not just trying to give empty nuggets. There's a difference between suffering, we've talked about this a million times, and suffering well. And it only comes through the suffering heart of Jesus. Amen? Amen. This is another one. Oldie, but goodie. Shut the back door. Everybody say, shut the back door. Not the front door. Shut the back door. Amen? Here's the thing about perseverance is that you have to show people in your love, in your endurance, that they're not leaving. You hear me? You need to show people that you're not, you don't have, how on earth, if you're walking into a room and you're going to go to a house, and you're going to buy a house and there's a realtor there, and the realtor is like, man, this is a perfectly safe neighborhood, but he's got his Glock on his side, he keeps looking out the window, the back door's open, right? Yeah, it's a real safe neighborhood. Some kids come to the door, he tries to bolt out the back door. How secure are you in that house purchase that house is probably okay? You're not, like, oh, it's completely safe, right? Well, what about in a love relationship with somebody when you tell them you're in, but they know that there's a back door? How much, number one, it works two ways. How do they know that you're there to persevere in love with them? And how do you know you're there to persevere in love with them? If you are making an escape route in case this doesn't go well, that is not the persevering love of Christ. I realize stuff happens. Things get broken. Things don't work. And sometimes you have to get out and there's circumstances. But our heart is not to always have a buffer zone. Our heart is to trust Jesus and love people in a way where the door is closed. Some of you mention the word divorce to your spouse all the time. Stop! That's a door! Threatening your kids all the time to kick them out or do da 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 whatever it is. Or just always have this line with people. They know that if you say one more word, you're done. Imagine if that was the heart of Christ with you. Rob, I'm going to love you, but I swear to you, if you do this thing, I'm gone. How secure would you be in your faith? How can you love people that way? Everybody say, shut the back door. By the way, some people won't even respond to you until you've proven to them that you shut the door. To me, I love this. This is the picture of the church. This is the church. This is what I love about you. This is what I love about us. This is not what I don't love how we got here. I always wanted to be this church that can take anything, and, you know, the church that take the licking and keep on ticking, right? That is a foolish statement because it comes with so much heartache and brokenness. But in reality, people say, I don't like to go to that church. Y'all are too jacked up. I would say, me neither, man. It's the only place that'll keep me. Amen? I wish I could go and sit down in a pew and everybody play the facade. Everybody not talk about what's going on. We sing some Jesus songs. We hear great, relevant teaching that fills my soul. And then I go home. I want that to happen. But that's not how a church perseveres. The only way you persevere through junk is, number one, you got to be open with your junk, right? Nobody. It's easy to persevere when the road is narrow. What about when there's pit bulls on that dog? Right? What if there is danger? Danger, 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 right? The church is supposed to be that place. The church is supposed to be the place where you know when you come here, if your heart is here and you are battling whatever it is, you're trying to love Jesus, you're not just here to pull down and break down and take, and that even that we let you be here. But you need to know that this is the place you come, that we will persevere with you. Some of you don't know it yet, but you're going to learn. And some of you know that you couldn't do any of this without the church, because the church is being the real bride of Christ that doesn't leave each other. We persevere. Marriage is broken. Persevere. You're going to lose a baby. Persevere. You get your stuff broken into. You persevere. People get addicted and they fall away. Your kids are going crazy. We persevere. We do it again and again and again and again. That's why it says in a social club, this is life. Amen. This is what we do. There is nothing you can go through that I don't want to go through with you. Unless it's some weird feminine issue, then I'll send somebody else to go with you. Amen? That would be a little weird, right? That's the picture of the church. Did you realize that in the New Testament, I mean, when they talked about Christians, they were a wild band of crazy whack people called the Way that faced so much persecution. They were used as candlesticks. They used Christian men and women and children as candlesticks in the courts of emperors. And they wouldn't die. They couldn't kill them. They couldn't persecute them enough. They couldn't chase them. How on earth can we be that generation for a day that's probably coming in our world where we can't even get through our midweek issue with my husband? Amen? Well, you know, you don't have to confess that, sister. We love Les and we pray for him. We're supposed to be, well, honestly, in Jesus, I don't want to say this pridefully, but we're supposed to have a little swagger, right? I like to call us the church of the modern day swagger. Not that we are arrogant, but we know that whatever comes, the devil can't win. The devil doesn't win. He doesn't win. He loses. He can take little fights with us, and he can get in little battles with us, and he might even win some of them, but he doesn't win. And so why on earth should I keep walking around like a coward that the next thing that comes is going to just take my breath away? And that might be huge. Some things lately have taken my breath away. I had to reset, okay? This is horrible. I don't know how we're going to do this. And then like, hope! We got it! We win! I have to remind myself. And that's how we persevere over and over and over again. Do you have a persevering love? That no matter what somebody does to you, and it doesn't just flesh out. I'm not saying stay in the same thing. Don't be abused. No, I'm not saying any of that. What I'm saying is, regardless of what they do, they're doing what they do. They're in sin. But what happens with you is that you don't have reason or license to stop loving them. He is the reason we love. He is the reason we persevere, not their reaction. And by the way, when things are so broken and gone, when you think the marriage is over, everybody's moved out, the kids are gone, they're never coming back, old prodigal Timmy starts walking back up the driveway. That's on God. That's not on you. You just be prepared to love. Amen? We persevere with the church. Amen. The last one, the last nugget. Let's chew on this thing. Love never fails. I don't know if you get this, man. I mean, love never fails. Well, and then you start going, well, it kind of fails. Yeah, that's you. If God is the definition of love, never fails. When we get to heaven, all the junk that you are wearing right now, all the worry, all the circumstantial problems, all the relationship issues, all the addiction ways, all the self-hatred, all of it. All of it. I'm going to walk into the throne room of grace. And I can't even imagine. I spend more time longing for this than anything else. I don't care about anything else. I just want to be set free of me. One day I'm going to walk into the presence. I'm going to fade into black, and then I'm going to fade into white, and I'm going to be with the Lord. And all my stuff, can you imagine that second when you realize that all your stuff is gone? Imagine there's a day coming when the fear is gone. Imagine there's a day coming when the anxiety is gone. The memory of what you did is gone. All of it is gone. What your parents did or did not do is gone. It's all gone. And it's just you. And it's just Him. And it's just that love is there. Love is the only thing left in heaven. Love is the thing left in heaven. It's where He lives, and it's where His perfect, redeemed, free people live. It's in heaven. This love never fails. God doesn't quit on us. He doesn't quit on you because He can't. He literally can't fail. He is the reason why we persevere. The words in here means love never fails. The word fail is an interesting word in the Greek, and the common translation is fall. So it means it doesn't fall to the ground. And the other word, never, is a helpful word because in the Greek it has to do with time. What it's saying is that love at no time will ever fall. Ever. It doesn't fall. I got this quote from this Alan Carr guy. You know Alan, right? We're good buddies. When everything else in this world has passed away, when everything else that has held us in such high esteem is gone, when knowledge and gifts no longer matter, love will still exist. It is the great constant throughout eternity. There are times when love may lose a battle, but in that the object of one's love may never return that love. Yet while it may lose a battle here and there, love has already won the war. The idea here is not on success, it's on endurance. When other things have been removed from you, there will only be love. It doesn't give in, it doesn't give up, it doesn't give out. This is love that is real, that never dies. You can't kill it. You can't kill it. 1 John 4, 7-8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because He is love. You know how many times, if you read through the Psalms, the Scriptures say that He is full of unfailing love? Over and over again. Over and over and over and over and over and over again. Read through Psalms 136. The whole thing is His love endures forever. His love endures forever. Love. And I was going to read it all, but we'd be here till Tuesday, right? His love never fails. Some of you will say, think about this. If love never fails, I think some people misinterpret this. And listen to me. Some people misinterpret when you say love never fails because what we talked about, because we put it on condition. You're misapplying it. For example, some people think that it means love will always succeed and wins in every situation. I guess some of these people, Paul went into a lot of towns and loved a lot of people, but he still got thrown out of almost every town. Right? Some people would think that that's a fail. Right? The Lord Jesus loved with an incomparable love, yet the world refused it, rejected it, spurned it, walked out of His presence into the darkness of a loveless night. The rich young ruler was granted an occasion to be with Jesus and receive love of Jesus Christ, but he turned away because the love of money and the love of the world. The rejection of Judas, hello, that didn't seem like a love wins, right? The truth is in marriages and well, husbands will turn their back on their wives. Wives will turn their backs on their husbands. And that has nothing to do with failing love. That is a circumstance of love failed in a person who is not walking in obedience to Christ. That doesn't mean love failed. To beat Rob Bell with his crazy, stupid heresy over the head, love does win, but people still go to hell. Love wins because love is Him, and He is eternally ours, and we are secure in Him. He will never fail you. So the question in that, people can walk away, but it doesn't mean love quits on you. How do we not fail in love? I got a huge list of how do we not fail in love. Here's my number one. We don't. We fail. Love doesn't fail on us. This is a reflection of the Father. Love never fails. He has never, ever dropped the ball with you. He will never, ever have a moment in your existence where you are not covered in His love. Nothing you've done, nothing you do, nothing that'll be done to you will surpass the never-failing love of God. This is the end of our series on how we love one another. I don't know if you know this, but Jesus loves you. But here's the thing. This is what I want you to get. This is what I hate about ending these things is that, and why I probably spend too much time in them, because I have separation anxiety issues. But man, just imagine everything. Just imagine the things we talked about today. What if through the Holy Spirit, which the Scriptures say is not only true, but it is God's desire for you, that you became a man and woman full of the loving hope of God, and you gave it away to everybody in your midst. Amen? Well, what's the next one? It endures. It perseveres. What if, and we continue to be, we're persevering, but what about your love? What if you just shut the back door? And some of you haven't told other people that the door is open, but you know in your heart, the door is open. Honestly, you need to repent of that. And you need to shut the door because true love perseveres. I only found this out the hard way in my marriage. How do we go through horrible anger and violence in our homes and affairs for years? Only because the loving, unchanging, unfailing love of God entered into our house and saved our butts, and we just gave that to each other. That's the only way. I don't persevere like that. I give up. I take meds, right? I'm on meds because I don't know how to persevere well, because my mind is shut. Eventually, all of your worry and all your stuff will catch up with your body. It will catch up with your mind. You will pay the consequences of dealing with this by yourself, or you're just going to jump into some kind of moral failure and it's just going to be horrible. And the best thing is that you need to receive is that love never fails. What if you were known as that kind of husband? What if you were known as that kind of wife? What if you were known as that kind of parent? What if you were known as that kind of friend? What if we were known as that kind of church? And what if the nations found it soon because we took it there? Church is not impossible. Church is where the God of the impossible lives. This is where God equips His people to do things that are so fueled by the Holy Spirit that miracles, people just, this is what I imagine in the Bible a lot. Whoa, dang. Sorry, I'll leave that with you. Can we just stand and pray together for a minute? Wait, I didn't say that authoritatively enough. Stand up and pray with me real quick. Can we just take a second in silence? And I just want you to pray. I want you to pray. You know what's going on inside of your heart right now. And so I just ask that you, I beg you, that you would just go to the Father right now. Any of this stuff, if you have had a back door open, if you find yourself hopeless, if you found yourself talking negative all the time and not having any hope in your words, you need to get right with the Lord. He is waiting for you. It's not like a father waiting with a stick to beat you. He's waiting with open arms like a prodigal, even in situations, to come back home to Him. Give Him your hopelessness. Give Him your lack of persevering love. Give Him your thoughts of failure. And just repent at your daddy's feet who loves you, who wants to give you those things through His Spirit. You just pray by yourself, just for the next 30 seconds. Just go to the Lord and confess your heart.